It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. There are some early college football futures that we're eyeing because of the great advice from our Cover 3 guys. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/247 and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Football getting some love here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome in. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher. We've had a lot of basketball-focused podcasts, which I know you guys love, with the offseason buzzing, and Illinois continues its roster makeover, and now Jermaine Hamlin is on the way out. Not that big of a surprise, but that's why scholarship counting, and why, you know, Brad Underwood was asked about scholarships a few times. It doesn't make a lot of sense at this point, and that is why. You expected some attrition here, and Jermaine Hamlin, a guy who wasn't getting a lot of playing time, didn't seem like he had a path to playing time coming up. He decides to enter the portal, and Illinois now has an open scholarship to go find another guy in the front court and an upgrade there, whether it's the four or the five position. I think you'll see Trey Mitchell, obviously Joel Ntabwe. Those are people we've talked about before. I think that'll be the focus. But the focus of today's podcast, again, is going to be Illinois spring football. And we got our best look at Illinois so far during the Monday spring football game. And Joey Wagner and I gave our thoughts right after the spring game was completed. And, you know, not much has changed. I rewatched the game and very vanilla stuff that we saw from the schemes. But we did see different schemes, a power offensive football team with a lot of 12 personnel using the tight ends a lot more. It's going to be a running football team behind what is a very good offensive line, in my opinion, relative to what Illinois has had in its past, and a very veteran-laden group. And Brandon Peters looked like how you want him to look. Now, he was playing against backups, a lot of third-stringers, fourth-stringers in this game, but he looked pretty good, and I think he asserted himself as what this team is going to move forward with at quarterback moving into the 2021 season. But we also saw a little bit from the defense, and Ryan Walter showed us a 3-4 base, and not a too big of a shock there, but he didn't show very much more than that. So it'll be interesting to see what we maybe see come the fall against different teams. Do they run a lot more disguising? Do they run a lot more blitzes? But certainly seems like 3-4 base there, and we saw a front that looked pretty good, again, against backups, but I thought the front of Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, Calvin Avery, Isaiah Gay, you know, Seth Coleman, and Owen Carney looked pretty good in that game. So just on review of the film, not much change from that podcast. But I wanted to get somebody who knows a lot more about football than I do. And he did a great job on the call on BTN with Lisa Byington and Jay Layman, former Illini All-American linebacker. He's really good at his job. I think, one, he obviously brings the energy. Two, he explains football incredibly well. I think to a general, you know, football 101 audience, I think he breaks it down very, very well, makes it easy to explain. But obviously he knows this program so well. So Jay Layman and I were texting. He said, hey, I'll come on the podcast and break it down if you want. And I'm like, absolutely. So Jay Layman joined me and we had a great conversation about what we saw from the spring game, what he's seen from Brett Bielema. Jay also talked a little bit about recruiting, especially Central Illinois kids, downstate Illinois kids. He wanted to talk a little bit about that. So we chatted about that. And I also asked him about his checklist for the offseason. And he had some areas of concern that he think need to be addressed. And, you know, but also why he's pretty excited about this program under Brett Bielema. So about a 20-minute conversation with Jay Layman, Big Ten Network, former Illini All-American linebacker. That's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges? You'll be going home.
murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Well, welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and we got a little glimpse of what Illinois football could look like under Brett Bielema, Tony Peterson, Ryan Walters. It was a little vanilla, but we did get to see a little bit glimpse of what Illinois football will look like. And on the call for Big Ten Network for the spring game, and he did a great job as always, is Jay Layman, former Illini All-American linebacker. Jay, welcome in. How was watching football at Memorial Stadium with some fans in attendance? What was that like?
Man, it was refreshing. Number one. And number two, I think the overarching theme is I've got to cover, I wouldn't say cover like you, but kind of watched Illinois through 13, 14 practices. There is just a totally different vibe in that building among the players, in the Smith Center, among the coaches as well. So it makes me really optimistic for the future.
What is that vibe, in your opinion?
Well, I think there's a swagger of from the top down. Brett Bielema's won in the Big Ten West. He's gone to three Rose Bowls. I should say two. He didn't coach in the third one, but he got the team there. And, so I think it starts with him. I think he's built a really good staff. You know about defensive coordinators, it's been documented, but, Kevin Kane, the coordinator from SMU. Andy Boo was a D coordinator at Maryland. Of course, Ryan Walters. And Brett was a defensive coordinator. So they got a lot of great defensive minds. I like Tony Peterson and his experience on the offensive end to kind of be a head coach of the offense. And so I just think, one, it starts with the staff. Two, it starts with it's also the mentality of we're going to own this state. We're going to go after, we're going to offer players. And I know they've gotten, I believe his name's Leonard out of Iroquois. And they got a guy, is it Beatty out of Rochester? And then, I got a guy out of Arthur as well they've offered. So it's interesting to me, and I think he made a great comment. He's never seen a place have long-term sustained success if it doesn't look like the place it's geographically located in. I think that was a really good comment from Brett. We've seen Illinois in the 80s look like California Midwest. We've seen it look like, SEC North sometimes up here. But it hasn't been sustained, the success. So for it to sustain and have a consistent level, we've got to look like the state that we're in.
Jay, I know you're a part of that, right? You're Champaign kid. But why do you think that matters? He does have experience doing this at Iowa, at Kansas State, and obviously at Wisconsin, where they look like Wisconsin up there. But why does that matter? And why is getting a lower or mid three-star prospect from Illinois more important than getting one out of Texas or Florida?
Hey, great question. Number one, we're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids, okay? Lots of stuff we're going on. I know we only see them play on Saturdays, but the reality is that these guys have a ton of things going on. School, relationships, girlfriends, whatever it may be. There's a lot of things that affect your play. Injuries. And anytime you can have family closer, I just think they're going to be more solid as far as dealing with the emotional ups and downs of being a college athlete. Not always, but if we just talk in general terms. Number two is just the consistency aspect of it. They might not be as flashy as maybe someone you get out of Florida who's a three-star. But we've got to have consistent play. We haven't had consistent play, clean play. When I say clean play, no unforced errors, no silly penalties, turnovers. That's been something that really has haunted Illinois under Lovie Smith, was the inconsistency in those aspects. I think you just get more consistent player when you have the local, at least the local core of guys that can be kind of the pillar of how you build it up.
Well, Jay, the one thing I wanted to hit on before we get into personnel or whatever we saw out of scheme on Monday is Brett Bielema, you know, got Illinois on Big Ten Network, right? And you were a part of that broadcast. And he involved himself. He involved his team. And the one thing, I don't know if Brett Bielema is ultimately going to be successful or what bar he will, how high he will raise the bar here. But boy, he has embraced being the face of the program. He has embraced being the CEO and selling this program. And frankly, it's something we didn't see under Lovie Smith. What have you thought about that and why is that important if it's important as I think it is?
Well, I think Illinois fans have to realize that Illinois football is largely irrelevant to everybody else other than us. That's probably hard to hear, that your favorite team, your alma mater is irrelevant when we talk about the college football landscape. And I think Brett realizes that and says, you know what? He would never say it like I just said it.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he realizes, like, we need all the press, all the exposure, every little thing we can do to let players know there's a new regime and things are going to be different at Illinois. Because, frankly, you know, four winning seasons since 2001, two of those winning seasons have been 7-6. The other two winning seasons have been special with Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl, but there hasn't been a level of consistency here. And that's why we've been deemed irrelevant. We've been beat out by our counterpart the last 20 years, largely in state with Northwestern. And, you know, we just haven't even come close to a West Division title or a Legend Leaders title for that matter. So he's got a, there's a point there that we are irrelevant in the grand scheme of things until things start to change. And he said, I'm going to take it, you know, almost personally to get this thing done and get it, you know, the ship turned the right direction.
Yeah. All right, Jay, let's talk a little bit about what we saw from the team. Brett splits it up between starters and backups, and a lot of the backups are now third and fourth stringers, a lot of walk-ons there. But offensively, I don't think we saw any surprises from Tony Peterson, and I know they kept it mostly vanilla, but what stood out to you offensively?
Number one, I had memories of just the hard zone action blocking scheme that I was accustomed to seeing, you know, as early 2000 Minnesota teams where Peterson was the defensive coordinator for Glenn Mason's Golden Gopher teams, in which they had some great tight end play. Ben Utecht, Matt Spaeth, Jack Simmons, to name a few, and of course the tailbacks of Lawrence Maroney and Barber, and how they really set up the zone play with the two tight ends. And they call that, people call it different. A lot of people call it ace formation. It's a balanced formation, two receivers, two tight ends, one back in the backfield at 7 yards deep. And the real challenge of that for a linebacker is, do I come down and hit the hole hard on the front side if I'm the Mike backer? Then the guy rocks back and cuts back. I think maybe Hayden had a big touchdown run when it was a design cut back on that zone. And or do I what they call rock back and kind of wait backside to see if that cutback hits on the backside? Well, then the running back hits the front side B-gap, and he's out the gate for 10 yards before he hits the safety. So, and then you come back on that, and it looks exactly the same when you run a play action off of it. And they tried to set that play action up early. Mark Montessier actually blew it up the third play of the game, where they have the hard zone action. And Peters, being as athletic as he is, really sets up well for that hard play action. They just don't have a deep threat out of it. That's why we saw the tight ends being utilized a lot in the passing game. And so I think, in a long-winded sort of way, our number one personnel is going to be 12 personnel. It's going to be one back, two tight ends. That's the core of our team. Navarro flashed a little bit on the outside. They've got to find somebody to stretch the field. Nobody really stretches the field right now, and that's going to be an issue for this football team.
What did you think? I mean, we've seen a lot of Brandon Peters. I don't know how much stock we put into that game. Isaiah Williams has drawn praise from the staff, but we know accuracy is an issue and throwing the football is an issue. I'd be surprised, Jay, if Brandon Peters is not the starting quarterback this year. But what is key for him? What did you see from him?
Well, it is his, you know, fourth or fifth coordinator in 6 years. So we got to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. He's 13 practices in, or was 13 practices in. I think this scheme fits Brandon Peters way better than Rod Smith's scheme. It's just a more natural fit. A little bit under center, a little bit out of shotgun. They don't require the quarterback to run quite as much. I think this is going to be he can make all the throws you need to. He looked very good on his intermediate throws to tight ends, also to Hightower on a curl route, to Navarro on slants. He even looked good on some of the hole shots that he threw. Of course, there were guys that were wide open. There wasn't great coverage. I know it's third and fourth stringers, like you said. But for Illinois to be an 7 or 8 win team, we've got to have Brandon Peters hit those kind of throws on a consistent level on third down. They've got some guys at running back. They've got some guys at tight end. We've got to have Peters and the receivers connect.
How good can Luke Ford be?
Luke Ford can here's the thing. I think Luke Ford can be as good as Noah Fant and Hawkins up at Iowa. Those guys were first-round draft picks, right? TJ Hockenson and Fant 2 years ago in that scheme. And Luke Ford is about as big and fast as those guys. I would also argue that he's probably better at the point of attack than Noah Fant was. Now, will he be utilized like that? He was on Saturday. On Monday.
Yeah.
So I think Barker and Ford could be like a Fant and Hockenson, who Big Ten West fans remember tore up Illinois numerous times and the rest of the Big Ten as really, really good football players. And, this is a scheme that really values the tight end. And so I think we're going to see them used a lot. I do think – can you remind me the name of the transfer from Michigan State? He's going to be a fullback or H-back.
Yeah, Max Rosenthal.
Max – yeah. I was going to say Max Bortenschlager, but that's that's a guy out of Maryland.
Close.
You get all these names mixed up, right? So anyway, I think he'll play as well at an H-back or fullback position. And so I think you're going to see a much more blue-collar physical football team because the strength is in the offensive line and the tight ends.
Running backs look pretty good, but that's not a surprise, right?
Yeah, I should say that. You know, Chase Brown looks really good. They're really high on Reggie Love. You know, talking to the coaches, and Brett even said it, that Reggie's really, really impressed him. So I'm interested to see what Reggie can do. I don't think he really got his chance. They really rotated all three of those guys. And Jakari, I guess, is showing flashes as a scat back. So I think running back will be strong. Obviously, Epstein, we don't know if he'll be back or if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that could add to it as well.
Well, Jay, I want to ask you quickly about the defense. I think I was most intrigued to see what it looked like, though they have kept that very close to the vest about what they will run. And I don't think we saw a lot, but they did come out with a 3-4 base, which is a different look than obviously we've seen for the last 5 years. And really, we haven't seen that kind of defense in a long time. The front looked pretty good, but what did you think about what Ryan Walters put out there?
Yeah, well, first it was very vanilla. You got to love Ryan Walters. I think he's a young star as a coordinator, but we asked him, what's the defense going to be? He's like, oh, it's multiple. You know, it's always one of my favorite answers from coaches, right? It didn't look very multiple. It looked like they ran one thing. They ran their 3-4 base defense, some cover two on the back end. A lot of back end doesn't change coverage-wise, but the front does change, and It was a symmetrical 3-4, meaning that they're running base most of the time, not a lot of nickel, and they have Calvin Avery in there at the nose, who, when he plays hard, is very disruptive. If you're going to run a 3-4, that's one of the hardest positions to recruit, is a legitimate, 330-pound nose tackle, the Casey Hampton of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a guy like that. Those are hard to recruit. They play hard. And then the outside backers. I mean, I think Carney will be more the rush guy. I think Gay will be more of the drop guy. And, of course, we're very thin at the inside linebacker position with injuries. But I think we'll see, obviously, Hanson, Hart, Tolson, and Tariq Barnes get good reps. I think we actually have some depth there as well. So I feel pretty good about the 3-4 that they're in.
What is the advantage? What will be different that we have that fans have seen for the last 4 or 5 years when you have a 3-4 Jay? Like, what will be different that fans will see?
Well, number one is in a 4-3, you pretty much know which guys are rushing. It's the four down linemen. In a 3-4, they will always rush, most of the time rush four, but you don't know which linebacker it's going to come from. It could be one of the outside linebackers. It could be one of the inside linebackers, and it looks exactly the same. Pre-snap. Very hard for an offensive line in the center to pick up on that, on who actually is coming. That's what Wisconsin's done so well since they've made the switch to a 3-4 under Aranda and now Jim Leonard. Number two, as an inside linebacker position, it's a little bit more of a muddy read because some of your defensive linemen will do what they call two gap. They'll fall off between Calvin Avery trying to play two gaps and not just taking the gap. So it can be not as clear as picture. So that takes, you know, some practice. And then number three is the 3-4 has really gained in popularity, not just because of what Alabama and Nick Saban have done, but to really combat the quarterback run game out of the zone read, which, you know, was proliferated under Rich Rod or West Virginia in the 2000s, and Illinois and Michael Oxley had success when I was there with that. And in the 4-3, you have a down defensive end, has his hand in the ground. It's very difficult to play the quarterback position. And then you get a full man over width-wise with that outside linebacker in a 3-4 as kind of an overhang position and maybe a more athletic guy, and really negates that quarterback run. And I think that's the biggest difference when we're talking about playing defense in this spread game, because everybody has zone read now as part of their offensive package, and you got to be ready for it.
What would offenses attack? Like, what would be the weakness of going 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3?
Well, because you have that overhang player now on the line, you're always going to try to attack right behind that outside linebacker in the flat, pass-wise, right? Because they're up on the line and they've got a what they call buzz all the way to the flat or to the curl, and that can be difficult. You got to have an athlete back there, right? So let's say I put, you know, Rondale Moore, who's obviously not going to be playing for Purdue, he's been in the NFL, but back lined up on that outside backer, and that guy's got to get depth. He's on the line. He's waiting for the quarterback run. Well, what happens if I just throw it over his head, right?
Yep.
So that's a little bit of a weakness. And also, sometimes if your nose guy cannot two-gap and he's head up on the center and he gets reached, makes it very difficult on interior runs for the inside backers. So you got to have a nose that can make it happen. So you talk about some of the weak points there, but those are things that can be real weak points if you're not careful.
Well, Jay, before I let you go, what would be on your checklist for the offseason after spring ball completes for both Brett Bielema and the players?
I think they've got to figure out who their quarterback is. I think you go with a guy and run it, and I know that he does not want to be a receiver, right? But I think Isaiah Williams could really, really help the football team as a receiver. I really do. But I don't want to split quarterback. I mean, they decide on a quarterback. They need to get healthy, and they got to find some kind of deep threat. We do not have a deep threat right now. And it'd be great if Emet or Bebe didn't go to the pros, but that's unfortunately what's going on right now, and he's gone. And so I don't know if there's going to be any transfer portals that could come in or not. But I'm excited because I think also the back end's going to have a huge upgrade as well. I want to get Eddie Smith here from Georgia. I think Prather Hudson's going to play from day one. I think Sidney Brown's going to have a much better year. Tony Adams, we know if he can stay healthy, he can be great. And Witherspoon's really improved. So I think we have a chance. But for me, it's figure out who the quarterback is, get healthy, right, and get a deep threat receiver-wise. Yeah. Those are kind of on my list of we got to get those done.
It's a good checklist. Good job on the call, Jay Layman. And as always, we appreciate the time, man. You're the goods.
All right, man. Take care.
Great stuff as always from Jay Layman. Some good insight there. And I think that's basically what we'll learn from Illinois football during this spring. And then we'll see fall training camp. But I don't know how much of that's going to be open. One of the great things about Illinois football, and I always gave a lot of credit to Lovie Smith for this, when Lovie Smith was hired, I did not expect training camp to remain open. And he did. He let us see his team. He let fans see his team. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Brett Bielema. I don't know if we're going to see more than 15, 20 minutes of open practice because he does have the edge of having a lot of mystery around his team. And while he showed a little glimpse of it on Monday night, he didn't show very much of it. So I'm not sure how much we will see during fall training camp, but we're going to see a lot more out of this team, obviously starting in August against Nebraska. But I think there's some things you liked in that game. I think Brandon Peters, you know, Luke Ford, Donnie Navarro, the running game, the offensive line, and the defensive front. But we don't have a lot of context to it either because the competition level wasn't all that good. As I said on our post-game podcast, if you will, it felt like a Class 8A team going up against a Class 2A team. So we got a little bit of a look, got some excitement going around the program, which I think is a good job by Brett Bielema to get that on TV and to give the fans a chance to see a little bit of what they are doing. All right, for the latest on Illinois football, Illinois basketball, recruiting, staff, all of that stuff, check out IlliniInquirer.com now for the latest. We got some evals of Donovan Leary, the Illinois quarterback commit. I did my eval of running back Jordan Anderson, who Illinois recently offered out of JCA, and also chatted with Derek Leonard, the Rochester coach, about not only Hank Beatty and what he brings to Illinois, but what Brett Bielema has done so far for in-state recruiting. I thought he gave some really good insight into that as well. All right, everybody, enjoy your day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.